Welcome to The Productivity Show, the Asian Efficiency Podcast dedicated to helping you make the most of your time, attention, energy, and focus. In this episode, I'm joined by Dave Kalo, a writer, author, and podcaster who has experience working remotely. Dave was the managing editor at the unofficial Apple weblog for 8 years, where he covered major Apple releases, reviewed software and hardware, interviewed developers, produced podcasts and video, and oversaw the site's day-to-day editorial operations. He's a regular contributor at Unclutterer, a website dedicated to home and office organization, and the creator of the Working Productively from Coffee Shops video module, which was just published in the Dojo. In this episode, Dave and I dive deep into coffee shop productivity, talking about why it can be beneficial, addressing the specific challenges that you'll have to overcome, share some tips for finding the right shop, and even what gear you're going to need once you get there. There's a bunch more in the Dojo module, and if you want to know how you can get that module for only $1, stay tuned until the end of the show. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/172. And now, on with the show. Dave Kalo, welcome to The Productivity Show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
I'm excited to have you on. So we're going to be talking about today something that you've been creating some content for. And actually, as this is being published, there's a video module which is live in the Dojo on working remotely from coffee shops, which is one of those things that I think everybody probably has done at some point, but knows that they probably didn't do it very well, or at least could have done it better.
That's true. You've either done it yourself or seen someone else sitting at the coffee shop working.
Yeah. And so today we're going to talk about how to do this more effectively and actually be productive when working from a coffee shop or a cafe. And I would say that there's a lot of tips here that would work on just about any remote location. If you needed to get outside of your, if you work from home, for example, and you just want to get away from your office or outside for a little bit, these are things that you could apply to just about any public situation where you would want to get some work done. But let's start here at the top by talking about why you might want to do this anyway. Why would you want to leave the comfort of your home office, for example, where you've got maybe everything set up exactly the way that you want it?
Sure. That's a great question. You mentioned something right there because you might have everything set up exactly the way you want it and need it. Well, it's amazingly true that even the most ideal office setup can lead to you getting into a rut or a routine or sort of a mundane day-to-day where you're not as, say, creatively agile as you could be. And even that change of scenery could spark some creative energy that you might not have had even in the most perfect home office setup.
Yeah, I've noticed this myself, and I've talked about it quite a bit on this podcast, but when I started working with Asian Efficiency, this was totally me. I would jump from coffee shop to coffee shop, go to the library. I would go basically work for an hour someplace, and then when I needed to kind of reset, I would travel to a new location.
Yeah.
And so I found that natural rhythm actually facilitated a lot of creative and deep work when I was doing writing, or even when we were launching the podcast, I did a lot of the quote-unquote editing, like on the road, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And just the different locations, that actually made it in some ways easier for me to get my work done.
Sure. I'm thinking of how many times you've had that great idea while in the shower or while walking the dog. You're forced not to work during those situations. So even the travel time that you spend going from your starting point to the coffee shop or the library or whatever can be really valuable creative time.
Yeah, that's a great point. And the second point that you've got here, you've got a link to a study, which we will include in the show notes. The study is called, Is Noise Always Bad? Exploring the Effect of Ambient Noise on Creative Cognition. And the short version of this is that a moderate level of noise actually enhances your performance when it comes to creative tasks. Now, high levels of noise, on the other hand, can hurt productivity and creativity. But just going from a very quiet environment to something that has a moderate and an ambient white noise level, like a coffee shop or a cafe, there's scientific research that shows that that makes you more creative.
Yeah, it's amazing that this report is from the Journal of Consumer Research. It was published in 2012. How just this perfect level of ambient noise, it can actually improve cognition. Now think about what you'll experience in a coffee shop. There's the murmuring of voices behind you, feet shuffling about, the hiss of the espresso machine, chairs being pulled back and forth. It's actually been shown that that level of noise, when it's constantly in the background, could actually improve cognition. So don't think the noise of a coffee shop is necessarily detrimental.
Yeah, there's a couple other benefits here of a coffee shop. You want to kind of walk us through the other, you got three more points here, points 3, 4, and 5.
Sure. It's nice to be in a comfortable, clean, well-lit space. I think of my favorite coffee shop. It's really, it's just a comfortable place to be. Everything's nice and clean. It's nice and orderly and organized. The library is another great example. I love to work from my local library because of that. They have big, clean tables that I can spread out on. It's nice and brightly lit. They're just really comfortable places. And when you're comfortable, you're ready to get down to some work. They're also a great environment to meet with colleagues or clients. If you are a home worker, say you're a freelancer or you own a small business, not quite at the level yet of renting office space, you want to have a space where you can meet with colleagues or clients that isn't necessarily your own home. And a coffee shop is a great answer to that question. And finally, you have the potential to make new professional relationships, not only with those colleagues and clients that you arrange to meet at a coffee shop, but most of them support a little small group of people who routinely use that spot as their office, and you can get to know those folks, and who knows where that relationship might lead.
Yeah, that's a great point. And also, it kind of depends on your location. I go to Austin about once a quarter to meet with the Asian efficiency team. And I love being in the coffee shops in Austin because everybody there is making something or doing something. It's a little bit different than Neenah, Wisconsin, but you can meet some really, really smart people in coffee shops, just to your point. Now, you also mentioned being comfortable, clean, and well-lit, and you mentioned specifically the library. I will say that the library by my house, I was amazed at the quality of the internet connection that I was able to get from the library. Is that the same where you are?
Yeah, it's really, really nice. And you mentioned Austin. I live in a very small town. I think there's just 9,000 people here. I like to joke that my sister's New York City apartment building has more year-round residents than my whole town. So the good news is there aren't a lot of people hitting that Wi-Fi in the library pretty much at any time. So yeah, I get a really nice connection. It's pretty great.
Yeah, another thing that that the library offers is the ability to reserve rooms for if you just needed, you know, to really just block out all of the noise and really focus on something, or even, you know, I've seen people doing webinars and taking calls from these private rooms that they have available at the public library. So a library is a great resource. The sixth one here at the top of the next page is is definitely one that resonates for me. So why don't you tell us about the last benefit here of working from coffee shops?
Sure. The last benefit on this list is getting away from a noisy residence or apartment. Perhaps you live with housemates or roommates who are home during what would be your working hours. Of course, I'm assume you have the conversation with them that this is I'm earning my living and I need this time to be at work, but at the same time, they're in the house. And if you are sensitive to sound when you're trying to get down to really deep, you know, pay the bills work, that little bit of noise can be really distracting. And even worse, when the construction crew decides to set up shop right outside your window, or you've got 5 kids around. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah. I was thinking as you were talking about the people who maybe live with you, having that conversation and getting them to respect your time and the noise level that you need in order to actually get work done. I was thinking to myself, man, if only I could do that with my kids, because anyone who has kids, no, you got to tell them over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And it doesn't really matter. My resolution to this was just get out of the house for a little while.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to go.
Yeah. Now, getting out of the house and working from coffee shops sounds great, but there are some challenges that come with the territory. So why don't you talk us through some of these?
Sure. It's not as easy as packing up and going and having a productive, successful day. There really are some true challenges in place for you. The first is that it's not free. You're not going to spend a lot of money, but you are going to spend some. You don't want to be the freeloader who commandeers a table that could also serve a paying customer. So expect to spend some money that you might have saved had you decided to work from home. The other biggie is you really aren't guaranteed an electrical outlet. A lot of coffee shops that exist today were built before people started using them as their offices. So outlets might not be as abundant as you might like, or they might just be really inconveniently placed. And that's a bummer if you showed up with a laptop that's close to the end of its day.
Yeah, it's going back to your first point about it not being free, and the takeaway here is don't be a freeloader. I cannot believe how many people, now that I have been in that situation where I'm working from coffee shops, I tend to people watch a little bit. I'm always amazed at the number of people that I see do this. You know, they walk in, they sit down at the at a corner booth, and they don't order anything. They just go grab water or whatever. And in my opinion, that's just not cool.
It's not. And I understand. I'm glad that that person's comfortable enough to sit down and get some work done and feel at home. But you do have to understand this is someone's business and they're trying to earn a living too. So buy a drink, buy a muffin, and do your part there.
Or go to the library.
Yeah, exactly. Go to the library if you don't want to spend any money. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah. Now the third one here, and we dive deep into this in the Dojo module, but you mentioned that security is obviously a big concern. Public Wi-Fi. I mean, there's a lot of things that could go wrong there, obviously.
There really is. And we go to this in great detail in the Dojo module, but security really is a legitimate concern. And as we discuss in the module, there are things you can do before you even leave home and best practices that you should engage in while you're out working in public to keep yourself and all of your data safe while you're there.
And we're going to actually share a couple of those at the end here, but there's a lot of great stuff obviously in the Dojo module, which is a little bit technical, so maybe doesn't make great podcast material. So we'll kind of move over this one for now. But the next one here is travel time. Now, depending on where you live, this could be a bigger deal than others. I don't live in a big city, so I don't really have an issue traveling to and from coffee shops. But if you live in a big city like Austin, for example, where it takes you a half hour to get into the city, I could totally see this being a big issue.
Yeah. Now, I mentioned earlier, travel time can be some good downtime to let your brain do some processing that it really needs to do when you don't have work immediately in front of you. But depending on how far you live from the shop, travel time could represent lost billable hours, especially if, again, you're a freelancer or you're a small business owner. So take into account how much time you're going to spend in the car or on the train or whatever you use to go from your starting point to the coffee shop, and how much time or how much you have to do in that day. There might be a day where really it's not worth it to spend 20 minutes in either direction traveling because you're just too busy. Or there might be a lighter day where you can make that transition without worrying about losing a lot of money or productive time.
Yeah, that's a great point about taking into consideration the productive downtime, but there definitely will be cases where it's just not worth the trade-off. There's another big issue here, which this one definitely resonates with me as well, because I am on the Colby score, a high fact finder. I like to know exactly what I'm getting into. And the fact of the matter is that sometimes you don't know what you're getting into. You give up an element of control when you choose to go to somebody else's place of business and try to get some work done.
For sure. You have an idea of what you'll probably experience. Some other customers, a little bit of noise, spend some money, but you can't be 100% sure that your expectation is going to match the reality once you sit down.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I've been in that situation where you set everything up, you plan perfectly, you get to the shop and their Wi-Fi is down or something, and it just completely cripples your work session. There's certain things like that you just, you can't account for when you choose to work from a coffee shop. So maybe it's best to kind of organize the type of work that you're going to get done at the shop. And again, this is something that you kind of talk about in the video module, but you know, not relying on those factors that you really have absolutely no control over.
Right. If you have mission critical work to get done for the day, perhaps that's a day to stay in an environment that you know you can rely on, be it your office, at home, or at work.
All right. So now we've talked about the benefits of working from coffee shops, some of the challenges of working from coffee shops. You've got some tips for finding the right shop. What should we look for when we're trying to select a place to get some work done?
Yeah, it might be tempting to just roll up to the first one you find and get down to business. But if you really take the time to go through a few steps, you'll find a one that's picture perfect for the work you need to do. The first one seems so obvious that I shouldn't mention it, but I believe I should. And that's find one that's laptop friendly. You might see people using laptops throughout. You might see little signs welcoming laptop users, or maybe they're suggesting a certain area of the shop where laptop users should go. Or perhaps there's a sign on the door or on some tables promoting the shop's Wi-Fi with the password right there. So that, again, that's a shop that is welcoming to people who want to set up with a laptop and do some work for the day.
Yeah, this is really interesting because I've definitely seen shops that they put a stake in the ground and they say, you know, we don't want you doing this type of thing here. And yeah, it always amazes me that because I tend to be very conscious and try to blend in and be as least visible as possible whenever I'm working from a coffee shop. I always pick the table, you know, way in the back where people can't even see me unless they're looking for me. But there's definitely people who, you know, I'll be in a shop where I'm not there to work on my computer and someone will just come in. And I've even seen people walk in with like their external monitors and set them up on the table. And it's like, they stick out and it's like, what are you doing here? Like, how do you not know that this is not the kind of thing that, that you can do right here, right now. And, this is something that you should definitely be aware of. And then also I would add that, choosing the type of work that you do, I find that the shops that, you know, you're not going to go and set up shop for a couple of hours and get a bunch of writing done, but that may be the perfect location for a different type of work. Like maybe you're using a paper planner and you're trying to plan a big project or plan out your day for tomorrow. And so recognizing that the different environments may facilitate different types of work as well.
Yeah, exactly. You might not edit an episode of the podcast, for example, at the shop because the competing noise might make that annoying. But if you want to do a mind dump at the end of the day, or if you want to do a weekly review, or you want to sketch out a mind map on a piece of paper or even a piece of software, that's a great place to do that.
So question for you then, because I think that the iPad maybe falls in the middle here. So if you're looking at a shop, you're considering a shop in it, and you don't see a bunch of people using laptops, you don't know necessarily whether they're laptop friendly or not. Personally, how comfortable would you be pulling out like an iPad Pro and your Apple Pencil and working in that environment? I'm thinking that maybe that is a little bit less obtrusive.
I think it's a little less obtrusive. And I think the larger the iPad gets, especially when you clank a keyboard onto the base, it really blurs the line between, is this a tablet or a laptop? And I guess it also comes down to how comfortable you are whipping out a piece of technology and working publicly. Now, I think smartphones are really their own thing. Everyone seems to be comfortable holding a phone in front of them and doing work no matter where they are. But again, if you don't get that twinge of, oh, am I, you know, annoying my coffee shop mates, then go ahead and do it. And I don't know, it's so individual. I hate to say either way, but if you don't mind the idea of sitting there with your tablet and getting to work, then go ahead and do it.
Nice. All right, you got another tip, which we talked a little bit about already, which is the location. Obviously, you don't want to pick one that's too far away because it's going to cut into your productive hours, the time that you're available to, especially if you're doing client work, your billable hours. What would you kind of use as a baseline for a shop being too far away versus being okay to travel to, just for you personally?
For me personally, 20 minutes is really my limit. If I'm in the car for half an hour, I think it's a little too far away. If I can find something within 15 or 20 minutes, that's going to be perfect for me. I'm willing to spend that much time in the car on either direction.
Cool. And then the third one here, this is, again, something that maybe you don't think about, but not all Wi-Fi is created equal.
Right. A lot of people don't realize this, and I'm raising my hand because when I started doing this, I didn't either. Different shops might have different Wi-Fi options set up. Now, a lot of shops don't pay for the faster bandwidth like you experienced in the library, so things might be a little slower. So keep that into consideration, especially if you're working with a lot of cloud documents. But also, some of them offer, you know, what I call all-you-can-eat bandwidth. You can stay on for as long as you like, and others might cut you off after a period of time. So it's really best to ask about this up front. What is the shop's policy before you get in the middle of something only to find you don't have the time to complete or upload what you need to complete it or upload?
Yeah, there's a cafe near my house that has this type of Wi-Fi where if you're going to just get on the Wi-Fi without purchasing anything, I believe they've got an ad supported like 30-minute cap. And then if you buy something, they give you like a code for a 2-hour session, which most of the time is more than enough. But if you're planning on being gone for the entire day and just setting up shop at the cafe, you know, that's not going to work in that particular location.
Right. And I guess this goes back to don't be a freeloader, but none of us are going to do that anyway.
Right. All right. So once we get to the shop, obviously the gear that you have with you is going to determine whether you've got a successful work session. And there's a couple important pieces of gear that you've outlined here.
Yeah. No, I do want you to travel light. Don't think you have to pack up a whole lot of stuff. The idea really here is mobility and flexibility. So we've narrowed it down, and I talk about this in the module as well, to really the essentials to help you have a successful, productive day. The first is a set of headphones. They're really essential when you're working in public. They let you drown out any unwanted noise. You can fire up that song or playlist that really gets you in the zone to work. And let's be honest, they send a message to others, which is, don't talk to me. It sounds a little antisocial, but if you need to get stuff done, it'll help a lot. Plus, if you need to watch videos, you mentioned a webinar earlier, you can really do so without bothering any of the folks around you.
It's a great point. Now, not all headphones I've discovered are created equal when it comes to sending those cues to other people that you can't be disturbed. And so there's a big difference between in-ear headphones and something like over-ear headphones, which is actually what Asia Efficiency would recommend for this. Now, over-ear headphones also can be heavier and somewhat uncomfortable. There's a specific pair of over-ear headphones that we recommend, which anybody who's listened to the podcast for any length of time knows that we're big fans of the Bose QC35s. What do you use when you work from a coffee shop? What kind of headphones do you pack in your bag?
It's funny. You mentioned the earbuds or the little in-ear headphones. They're almost as ubiquitous as iPhones, so people almost don't see them.
Exactly.
So that cue doesn't really get across that I'm trying to work right now. I have a pair of, I can't look because I'm wearing them, but they're big Sony over-ears that I use when I'm recording the podcast and when I am out in public. They're just much larger, and they're sort of hard to miss. They almost look like little Princess Leia buns, and they do get that message right across that, don't talk to me right now. Sorry, but I'm busy.
Awesome. Yeah, I've got a pair of AirPods that are great for just traveling around town, but if that's all I've got when I'm at the coffee shop, I can pretty much guarantee that somebody is going to say something to me at some point because people just don't even see those things.
Yeah. It's true.
All right. Second piece of gear here, a notebook and a pen. I am very curious about this. We've actually got somebody working on an analog productivity module for the dojo, and there's a lot of analog productivity fans in the dojo. So I completely agree that this is essential gear, but I'm curious if you could talk just briefly about maybe how you use it, and if you have a specific brand of notebook or pen that you use, that'd be great as well.
Sure. Well, I'm among those fans. As much as I love using electronic and digital technology, I love having a pen and a notebook in my pocket. And I have for years and years now, every day. I'm partial to the Field Notes brand notebooks because they're small and fit right in my pocket. And it just feels like a blue collar tool. I also love the Fisher Space Pen because there are times when, as I'm sure your listeners know, they write in, any surface and any orientation. They needn't be flat on a table. So there are times when someone says to you, here's this piece of information, and the only free spot is, a vertical wall. And I know I can jot it down and not worry that my pen's going to die halfway through. I had an experience just today where I met someone at work and we had a little chat. She wanted to follow up with me. And the easiest thing for me to do was just to pull out my notebook, write down my name and address and, email address, tear out the page and just hand it to her. That type of thing happens to me quite often. And it's really super convenient. I also like to use, here at my desk, I have a stack of 3x5 index cards, but on my notebook, and I'll do this all day long, is just to capture what I think of as incoming stuff. Something I remember, oh, I have to do this, or I need to follow up on this. I just quickly write it down and put a line underneath to make room for the next one. And for me, that's the quickest and most reliable way to do that.
The old-fashioned hipster PDA.
Yes, right.
Yeah. Another thing that's really cool about the analog productivity and the notebook and pen is people ask us all the time about, you know, different systems, different apps, what do we recommend? And really the correct answer is whatever works for you. The great thing about a notebook and a pen is that you're not confined to the system that the app you're using is trying to force on you. So you're not stuck putting in all the criteria. For OmniFocus, for example, you have complete flexibility to do whatever you want. And sometimes when you're stuck at a particular point in a project, having a blank canvas like that where you can just kind of doodle some things down and connect things in different ways, that's enough to get you moving in the right direction again.
Yeah, for me, it's really just about capturing. I have this idea, I write it down, and then I can go on with whatever I was doing. I mean, at the end of the day, when I'm doing my review, it absolutely will move into my formal system. But I love the peace of mind of knowing that I have that thing and I could let my mind forget about it and get back to whatever I was doing. For me, it's invaluable for that very reason.
All right, the third one here, an AC adapter. And I added, even if you don't think you'll need it, because there's been times where I've made sure I've charged up all my stuff the day before and I get to the coffee shop, open up my computer, and my battery is dead.
I've done that too. I had stuff plugged into once a power strip that I didn't realize had died at some point overnight. And I got to the coffee shop and my laptop was at 32%. And I said, oops. So yeah, even if you don't think you need one, you should probably grab one and bring it with you.
Yeah. One of the things that Tan does, which I think is genius, and I've incorporated this into my lifestyle as well, is he's got redundant chargers, redundant cables just about everywhere. I've got, it's quite an investment, especially if you've got like a MacBook or something. Like an extra charger isn't cheap, but I bought one and I keep it in my bag and it never, ever comes out of my bag except when I am at a coffee shop. And that way I just know I've got peace of mind that I never have to think about putting my charger in my bag. Oh, did I remember it? Because there's one that's always there. And that peace of mind is over the years paid more than the $80 or whatever it was to buy it.
Sure. You're almost teasing one of my pro tips for bags, because that's very much in line with a practice I've been adopted a few years ago. That's great.
Yeah. So the last one here you have is a good bag. So let's talk about bags a little bit and then get into some of those pro tips.
Sure. Your bag really is your mobile office. So get something you're really happy with. That's going to vary from person to person, depending on the equipment you use, the gear you want to bring with yourself, and the type of work you do. I just have a nice over-the-shoulder bag with a few pockets that fit exactly what I need, but really not more than I need. I don't want to be fishing around for, you know, that pen or that mouse or those extra set of batteries. But find something that you're comfortable with, that you think is really well made, and that you're happy to carry around, because that's, like I said, your mobile office, and I want you to get several years great use out of it.
Yeah, there's a concept that we teach at Asian Efficiency called the minimalist luxury lifestyle, which is basically buy not a bunch of stuff, but buy good versions of the stuff that you're going to use all the time. So as it pertains to the bag, and the one that I listed in the outline here is I've got a Tonbin Synapse 25, which is pretty expensive. I think it was a couple hundred bucks with the, you know, the cash and everything. But I tried maybe four or five other bags before that when they all fell apart. They all broke, even the ones with the lifetime warranties. I had a Timbuktu, which has a quote unquote lifetime warranty. And I went to get it replaced and they made me, you go on their website, you have to buy a $25 return label and then you send it back and they decide if it's under warranty and then they'll refund you 6 weeks later if they decide to fix it. And I was just like, that's ridiculous. That's the thing that pushed me over the edge and I finally got the Tonbin that I've had my eyes on for years.
It sounds like they have a different definition of lifetime.
Yeah, definitely. So regardless of the bag that you settle on, what are a couple other tips that people can use to make sure that it's always got what they need when they need it?
Sure. A couple of pro tips when it comes to packing and maintaining your bag. The first is something you mentioned earlier. Don't have a single point of failure. This means two pens, backup batteries, an extra charger cable for your phone, maybe an extra AC adapter. There have been times where I've been at workshops or conventions that people have paid, you know, $1,000 to attend, and they've brought one pen. And if that pen fails, you're in trouble because now you can't take notes. And this is something that I learned when I was an IT professional, just to never have a single point of failure. Always have a backup ready to go. And that applies to something as simple as your bag. Have a couple pens in there, a couple batteries, an extra phone cord, an AC adapter, and that type of thing. My other pro tip is to keep a bag semi-packed at all times if you need to leave home right away to work remotely. We're going back to that construction crew who's making a lot of noise right outside your window, or the kids are just being a little too loud for the day, or whatever other thing happens. Let's say the cable connection to your home suddenly dies and you've lost internet for the day. You want to get up and running and back working and productive as quickly as you can. So if you've got a bag with those items in it, maybe some money, you can just simply add your computer, add your mouse, and off you go. And you've lost as little productive and or billable time as possible.
Yeah, the money is an interesting point. And actually, that's one that I had looked over. That's the fifth point on the outline here.
Yeah.
But this is something that you don't ever think about, especially with Apple Pay, for example. On my watch, I can pay for a lot of stuff without even taking my wallet out. But when it doesn't work, you're going to wish you had some cash.
Right. Let's say their computers are down for whatever reason, or there's some sort of, they're doing an upgrade and their registers aren't working as they expect them to. Or for whatever reason, you left the debit card at home, or your watch isn't charged up and you don't want to be the freeloader. You want to buy a snack or whatever it is. Just keep $10 tucked away, even if you never use it. Again, it's a great peace of mind that's not going to distract you away from your productive day.
Excellent. So there's five tips for gear to bring with you. Now let's talk a little bit about the etiquette and some of the stuff we kind of touched on already.
Sure.
But these are things that can help you avoid being that guy.
You definitely don't want to be that guy or that woman when you're in the shop. So quickly, buy something we talked about. This is someone's business. Support them. Be as unobtrusive as possible. You really want to stay out of the way. Don't sprawl with all your stuff on the biggest table that seats four. Find a modest table that's sort of away from the rest so you can still get stuff done, but not really bother the other patrons. Electrical outlets might be at a premium. If you can plug in, great, but you don't want plugs running across the floor. Tripping people is a bad idea. And finally, try to be kind of quiet. No phone calls or Skype calls unless absolutely necessary.
Yeah, this is the one when we were going back and forth on the outline. Pushed back a little bit on because I've definitely done those calls from coffee shops. But there is a tool that I've used which has allowed me to do it without annoying everybody else in the shop and annoying everybody else on the call. So that's another thing you have to be you have to consider is a lot of times, for example, if you're in a noisy environment, the other people who you are talking to who are sitting in their office, they're distracted by all of that noise behind you. And there's an app that have you used this? There's an app I use called Shush.
I looked it up after you mentioned it. I haven't used it, but I read up on it a little bit and it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, this is something that I think I first heard about from Brett Terpstra.
Okay.
And it's a menu bar app. It's like $5 on the Mac App Store. And you can program a key on your computer to be effectively a mute button for Skype calls and things like that. So you can set it either as push to talk, which is usually what I've got it set as. So by default, it's going to mute unless you're holding down the key. Or you can set it to just act as like a cough button, for example, and you could press it when you want to mute your microphone. The only bad thing I can say about Shush is that it doesn't work with like my podcast studio setup. I've got an XLR mic and it doesn't seem to work with like those audio interfaces. But
okay.
anything like a pair of ear pods or AirPods or something that you would just plug into the side of your computer, a USB mic even, this is going to be a great tool.
I think the idea of using it as a mute button is really great, especially if you're in a noisy shop, say you're there at lunchtime. The people you're talking to don't necessarily want to hear all that noise in the background for the duration of the call. So I think that'll save them a lot of frustration during your chat.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned something else that I think is really important here, because typically you go to a shop, the shop's, it's probably not real big and there's limited seating. Mm-hmm. So like you said, you don't want to, as one person coming in with your computer, take a table for six.
No, you certainly don't. But look around. There might be a designated area for laptop users. If not, just find that table that you think is out of the way, but will still accommodate your needs.
Yeah, and the other side of that, I think, is that most coffee shops will have some sort of booth, and at least in the area where I am, that tends to be the place where people want to sit because it's more comfortable. But I've also seen, you know, one person sit in a booth and sit there for 5 hours while they're working. So be considerate. You know, if you are one person in a booth and there's four people who are coming in to eat lunch, maybe relocate to that small table on the side.
Yeah, people love booths.
Yep. All right. So some coffee shop etiquette. Next section here is some digital security. Now, like I mentioned, we get into this in detail in the module, but you want to give us just a couple of your favorite tips here?
Yeah, I'll give you three tips here. And again, these will be quick because like you said, A, it's kind of dry as podcast material. And also we go into this really in great detail in the module. So I encourage you to watch it. But really, before you go, turn sharing off before you leave the house. It's a simple thing to do on either your Mac or your Windows machine. And number two, this one's kind of a biggie. You might want to use a VPN. Let me qualify that might and say you definitely want to use a VPN. It's something called a virtual private network that encrypts information going to and from your computer. And again, we go into all the geeky goodness on this in the module. And if this is your one security takeaway, I say that's the one you should adopt. And finally, never leave your computer unattended. Even if the store is full of, you know, honest looking, cute little old grandmas and you really need to use the restroom, it's not a good idea to leave your laptop unattended, even for a brief time.
Yeah, I completely agree with this, although I have to admit that sometimes I break this. Typically what I do when it's a shop that I frequent and I know the people who own it, and the people that work there, if I have to get up and use the restroom, what I'll typically try to do is pick a spot that's the furthest thing from the door I can find.
Okay.
And is past the restrooms, essentially, so that if someone were to grab my computer and make a break for it, they would have to go right right past me.
Okay.
But I agree with you that in theory, this is absolutely something that I should not do.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you're not the only person who's ever cheated on this rule, because sometimes you think, well, I'll only in the bathroom for 30 seconds, and hauling everything, putting it away, setting up again is a good 5 minutes, and that's kind of aggravating. So I understand.
But more aggravating would be losing your laptop and all of your work. So
yes, infinitely more aggravating.
Yeah, so it's worth a little bit of sacrifice to make sure that your stuff is safe, especially if you're in a location that you aren't that familiar with. Yeah. I want to also touch on the sharing thing, because I cannot believe how many people don't even realize what a big deal this is. I was at my gym the other day, and they must have like Apple TVs or something set up in the different like daycare rooms.
Okay.
And I was listening to a podcast, and I was selecting my Bluetooth, my AirPods from the audio source. And I'm seeing all of the other devices that they have at the gym. And I showed them, I'm like, hey, you know, I can just like send my stuff to any place here and there's nothing you can do about it. And they're like, oh yeah, whatever.
Oh my goodness.
But if you think about it with like air sharing and stuff, if you don't have these settings set up, literally anybody can send you any file. Like they could send you a totally inappropriate picture, audio, whatever, video, and it just shows up on your computer while you're trying to work, unless you've taken the time to adjust these sharing settings.
Yeah, AirDrop on Mac OS X too. There are so many times where I'll open my Mac and just see, you know, everyone else's Mac AirDrop ready to receive whatever I want to send them. And you don't want to do that when you're out in public.
Definitely don't. Also regarding the VPN, there's one that I put here just because it's the one that I use. I think the whole idea of a VPN maybe is pretty scary to some people. Mm. It doesn't have to be. There are a lot of services that make this very easy. The one that I use is encrypt.me. It used to be the old Cloak service. Mm-hmm. And it's just a menu bar app that detects when you're on unsecure Wi-Fi, and it's going to automatically encrypt all of your traffic so that no one can sniff on your internet activity. And it happens automatically. So you don't have to be an IT professional in order to set this stuff up.
Yeah, if you want to set something up yourself, you can, but you absolutely do not have to. There are many great services like EncryptMe that cost only a few bucks that are going to do exactly what you need them to do.
Excellent. So we've covered quite a bit here. If you want some additional information on working productively from coffee shops, there's an article which I shared with you when we were working on the module together that I wrote a while back on working from cafes and coffee shops on the Asian Efficiency blog. So we'll put that in the show notes. And then also, like we've talked about, you've put together an awesome Dojo module, which is going to dive even deeper to this stuff. So hopefully, you know, you've got some practical tips that you can use the next time that you go work from a coffee shop to help you have a more successful work session. But if you really want to take it to the next level, then you're going to want to check out the Dojo module that you put together.
Yeah, please do. Like you said, we go much deeper into everything we talked about today and a little bit more. So I hope you like it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the show today, Dave. If people want to connect with you, other than the module in the Dojo, where can they connect with you and where can they see what you're doing?
Sure. If you like to use Twitter, I am David Kalo. That's DavidCaolo, with a little at sign in front, of course. And the website is 52tiger.net. That's numeral 52tiger.net. And every now and then I actually get around to publishing something over there. So maybe you'll be lucky when you visit.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on, Dave.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
If you want to dive deeper into this topic, this month's featured video module in the Dojo is just for you. In the video module, Dave shares even more practical tips for protecting your security and things that you can do before you even leave the house to set yourself up for success. He goes a lot deeper than we were able to in this podcast episode, and as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, if you want to get access to that video module, we've got a very special offer for you. The Dojo is our online productivity community where you can connect with like-minded achievers and share the latest productivity tips and techniques while encouraging and holding each other accountable to reaching your goals. The Dojo also gives you access to a comprehensive video training library, including the video module that Dave just published. Now here's the best part. You can get access to not only Dave's Working Productively from Coffee Shops module, but the entire video library for only $1 for your first month. This offer is just for podcast listeners, and if you want to take advantage of it, you have to go to theproductivityshow.com/dojo. Again, that special $1 first month offer is only available at theproductivityshow.com/dojo. You get access to everything that the Dojo has to offer, and after your first month, it's just $29 a month, and you can cancel at any time. So if you want to join a community that can help you achieve your goals faster, check out the Dojo today by going to theproductivityshow.com/dojo. Again, that URL is theproductivityshow.com/dojo. You can also find links to everything that we discussed today in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/172. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.